Greetings to all of you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Book of Haggai chapter 1, and we'll read verse 6. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his precious word. In last class we considered about the disappointment of God's people. We had considered the first disappointment. He sowed much and bring in little. We considered it was lack of fruitfulness. And then last class we considered the second disappointment, and that was lack of satisfaction. And then we saw in the last class, God cannot satisfy us. We looked from the scriptures that eating cannot satisfy us. Secondly, we saw that earnings cannot satisfy us. Thirdly, we considered that entertainment, that cannot satisfy us. Fourthly, we considered that extravagance does not satisfy us. And fifthly, we considered that estate or wealth cannot satisfy us. We considered that satisfaction comes from our Lord Jesus Christ, as he said in John's Gospel chapter 6 verse 35, that I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Psalm 103 verse 5, we considered, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. So he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with his goodness. Psalm 107 verse 9. So we can be satisfied, certainly. God's people can definitely be satisfied with their life here upon this earth. There is no doubt about it. But then we need to know how we can be satisfied. There are five things I would like to bring to your attention about satisfaction, eating, in reference to eating. Firstly, we need to eat, or we need to feed. We considered some part of that in the last class. Secondly, we need to enjoy that which we eat. Thirdly, we need to experience or feel what we eat. Fourthly, we need to explore, or we need to find and search the scriptures for satisfaction. And fifthly, we need to execute or follow the word that cometh to us. Firstly, we need to feed, or we need to eat. We consider that it is not enough seeing the food. By seeing the food, we can never be satisfied. We need to eat the food in order to be satisfied. So, the Word of God is not enough for us to look upon the Word of God. We need to feed on God's Word. We need to eat God's word. The Lord Jesus Christ said his meat was to do the will of God. That was the food that he had to eat. And we considered the various food that is there in the scripture. Firstly, we saw about the soft or the sincere food. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. It's the sincere milk of the word. It is for the newborn in the Lord Jesus Christ. For those who are born again new. It is just the basic things of the word of God. Reading the scripture, simply reading the scripture. What do you mean by as babes? As newborn babes. As we look at our children, as our children grow up, we do our best to teach them the scriptures, isn't it? In the Sunday school anniversary, or when somebody visits home, they'll call the child and they say, look, repeat, say Psalm 23, or You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I listened to so many children in those days. Now just that sentence, the Lord is my shepherd. Teaching them, the babes, the milk, the sincere food, to teach the children as they grow up. So even so it is true in our spiritual life, as we grow, as we are born again, then we begin to read God's word. It's just the basic things that we understand. So, firstly, it is the soft food. That's what we give to the children. The milk, which is considered to be very soft and very mild for the children to digest. Secondly, we saw that we need to eat on the solid food. It is not enough that we keep drinking milk. After a period of time, you know, it is not just that milk is given, we add something that is solid, so that the children as they grow, they might grow in strength. So there is a solid food that is added. As we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 2, it is not just milk, but we need to feed on meat too. If you grow up, and as you grow up, and if you drink only milk, or if you are only looking, know and understand only the basic things that is there in God's word, then your life will turn out to be as a carnal believer. That's what Apostle Paul is telling to the Corinthians. You need to start eating solid food in order to grow in the Lord. And thirdly, we saw that not only is it a solid food that we need to eat, it is has to be a sweet food that we need to eat. We need to taste this food. It has to be sweet to our mouth. Psalm 119, verse 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The feeding of God's word should be sweet to our mouth. We consider that when you are hungry, even bitter words are sweet to our taste. Bitter words would be sweet when you are hungry. What would you do when you are hungry? You want to somehow eat your food. In Malayalam there is a saying that goes like this, that Vesanal Puli Pullum Dinnum. You know, it means that if the tiger is extremely hungry, it will even eat grass. See, when you are hungry for God's word, even bitter words, even harsh God's words that comes to us is sweet to our taste. So we need to taste God's food. And then we considered there has to be sufficient food. We need to be satisfied. We need to have sufficient food. It is not enough that we eat what a child eats as you grow up. The quantity of the food has to increase. And as a child, you would read maybe a verse or two or maybe a chapter. As we grow up in our Christian life, we should be able to read many more scriptures. We saw in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 4 about the Passover lamb. God instructed them that the Passover, the size of the lamb, should be according to the eating of the people or of that family. According to the eating capacity of the person, they should be able to choose the lamb, the size of the lamb. So also in our Christian life, according to our growth, according to our eating, it should be. We should be able to read more and more, spend more and more time in feeding on God's word. And fifthly, we saw that it has to be sustaining food also, or nutritious food. It is not enough that we eat food. It is not enough that we eat a lot of quantity of food. But we need to eat nutritious food too for our growth, for the overall growth of a person. In Job chapter 23 verse 12, we read there, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. So it is not necessary food alone that you need to eat. You have to eat something that is more than necessary food. That means nutritious food. We need to be able to eat a balanced food. We need to be able to feed on God's word in a very balanced way. Not just choose a certain thing. And there are some people who only read the New Testament. Who say just the New Testament is enough for us. We don't have to consider the Old Testament at all. We have been given the whole Word of God. The whole meal has to be nutritious. We consider 2 Samuel chapter 23, where David's mighty men were mentioned. When the Philistines attacked Israel, the people of God, there was this Eliezer who stood firm all alone against the Philistines, and he guarded over a piece of land that was full of barley. And barley speaks about the basic food of God's people. It is the bread. But upon another plot of land, there was another man called Shammah, who was also defending all alone against the Philistines. And upon that ground was the lentils. And the lentils are those that are all those proteins and other nutritious things that are needed. It is not enough that I feed upon the barley of God's word. I need to feed also upon the lentils of God's word. The nutritious word of God. As we grow in our Christian life, we need to also eat food that sustains us. And sixthly, we saw about the strong food. We need to eat strong food. As we read in Hebrews chapter 5 from verse 12 to verse 14. It says about we ought to be teachers of God's word. You know, in our Christian life, as we grow up studying God's word, we should come to a stage where we will be able to teach others God's word. I'm not talking about preaching God's word. We're talking about teaching God's word. You know, when somebody is able to ask us certain things from God's word, we should be able to teach them. We should know the right doctrines. And that is why we need to come to a full age. We need to come in our Christian life to an adult stage. It is not enough that we remain as a child. It is not enough that we remain as teens. It is not enough that we remain as youths. We have to come to the adult stage in our Christian life. And that coming to the adult stage is talking about eating strong meat. And strong meat speaks about the sound doctrine or the sound word to rightly divide God's word. And finally we saw about the secret food. The secret food is a food which is revealed to us. Deuteronomy chapter 29 verse 29, the secret things belongeth unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us, to our children. So it is a revealed word of God. Now there are so many things in the scriptures that are still to be found out. The truths and the depths of those truths are still to be revealed to us. And we need to know them. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear, and he will shew them his covenant. So the secret of God, of the Lord, lieth in his word. It is in his covenant. It is for us to find that out and to feed on God's word. And we read about in Psalm 103 and verse 7 about Moses. He made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. Moses knew the ways of God. It was made known to him. So even as we feed on God's word day by day, and as we grow in God's word day by day, it would please God to reveal to us the truths that are hidden in God's word. And as we learn of them and as we feed on them, it gives such a thrill to our souls in our Christian life. So the lack of satisfaction is because we don't eat proper food. It is because we don't eat food in the manner in which it ought to be eaten. You know, in today's world, the believers are bombarded with God's word from every side. You know, there are so much of seminars, so much of meetings, so much of conferences, so many things happening for this group and that group and every other group. But yet there is no satisfaction among God's people. It's because there is no proper feeding on God's word. Now, so it is not only that we have to eat God's word, we need to enjoy God's word. Psalm 1 and verse 2, the psalmist says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So his delight is in the law of God. What do you mean by his delight? It is something that brings delight. When the thought of reading or feeding on God's word comes, it brings joy. Psalm 119 verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. To love God's word. Now, do we really love God's word? Is God's word something that is the desire of our heart? So we need to enjoy God's word. It's only then that we can be able to love God's word. And not only do we love God's word, in Psalm 119 verse 47 it says, I will delight myself in thy commandments which I have loved. So if you want to delight in God's word, then you need to love God's word. Here the psalmist says, I have loved his word and I will delight myself. So this is an ongoing process. It is not something that is there for a short period of time. You know, in our Christian life, sometimes we come to a period when we take the scriptures and we start reading and we start living, loving it, and we desire and delight in it. And after a period of time, that slows down. This is not something like that. When we love God's word, then it will definitely be our delight each day. And so the psalmist says, oh, how I love thy law. There are so many reasons why we can love the law. We are not going to go into those reasons. But we need to learn to enjoy God's word. So we need to enjoy God's word. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John's Gospel chapter 15 and verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. See, if you love, you will keep the words. I love thy word, and so I delight. So if you love the Lord, then you will delight in his word. You will keep his word. You will delight in his word. So love cometh first. We need to love God's word. Psalm 119 verse 127. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold. How is that possible? Above everything that is more precious. In other words, Lord, thy word is very precious to me. Precious than anything else in this world. If I can spend time to make something precious in this world, I would rather spend time with thy word. If I am not able to spend time with thy word, then I would not want to spend time to make anything more in this world. Because thy word or thy commandment is above gold. It's more precious to me. Therefore, I love thy word. So secondly, it is to enjoy God's word. Thirdly, it is to experience or to feel God's word. You should allow the word of God to touch us and to stir us up. Now it is not enough that we hear God's word. It is not enough that we feed on God's word. It is not enough that I enjoy God's word, but I should let God's word touch my life. I should be able to experience God's word in my life. It should stir me up. You know, we read in Acts chapter 2 verse 37, when Peter gave that sermon on the day of Pentecost. And when they heard this, when they heard the word of God, they were pricked in their heart. And they said to Peter, what shall we do? They were pricked in their heart. Now we should allow God's word to prick our hearts. Does it happen in our life? As we read God's word, does God's word prick our life? Does it touch us? Do I have a feeling for God's word after giving a sermon? You know, people coming and talking to you and saying, you know, excellent word, brother. Good word, brother. Enjoyed your word, brother. You know, all those kinds of adjectives. But has it touched you? Has it pricked you? Has it brought some warmth to your Christian life? That's what matters. How much has it been useful to you? You know, once I gave a word in some place. After that word was given, a believer came to me and told me, brother, the Lord had sent you today amongst us. I was going there for the first time. I was traveling someplace. And that believer came and told me, the Lord has sent you today into our midst. And you have given a word that's the right word for us that was needed. And he said, you know, brother, that particular brother has been so and so and so and so. That particular brother, your word was the right word for that particular brother. It was not enough for me. Your word was not for me, it was for that particular brother. We should allow the word of God to touch us. Not be bothered about whether the word is touching somebody else. That's the Spirit's work. I don't need to be bothered about whether the word has touched you. I need to be bothered about whether the word has touched me. To be satisfied, that is very essential in our life. Now what the word of God can do also, you read in Acts chapter 5 verse 33, when they heard, they were cut to their hearts and took counsel to slay them. We're talking about the Jewish people. In Acts chapter 7 verse 54, Stephen, when they heard these things, they were cut to their hearts and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Sometimes we feel that way, isn't it? That brother said this is this, and in our heart, it is all bitterness. We might as well, if possible, cast a stone against it. The word of God, when it touches me, it should bring about changes in me. But instead, what do? Sometimes when it touches us, we start mudslinging that person. I remember many years back, brother, he was saying that, you know, in one of the messages that he gave, after the message was over, a sister came with tears to him, and she said like this, I thought she was my good friend, my best friend, but why did she tell you about all my life and you had to preach about me this evening? And then brother told her, nobody told me about you, and I just gave the word that the Lord has given to me this evening. Nobody has spoken to me about you. You know, when the word of God comes to us, we always find the reasons to put the blame upon somebody else. And that girl eventually became our brother's own daughter-in-law later on. The word that should touch us. You know, once I gave a ministry in a place, and after that, three brothers came to me, two teenagers and an older brother, a mid-aged brother, came and told to me very specifically as to three different manner in which they were touched by God's word. And all of them had three different reasons for having been touched by the word that was given. I was thrilled at that time. But later on, after a few days, another brother who was an elder of the assembly, he came and asked me and started questioning me, why did you speak like this and like this and like this? And I said, I had no intention of whatever you think I had been talking. I just gave the Lord's word. You see how the word of God can touch us, can prick us, and how we need to respond to the pricking of God's word. We should be able to experience God's word in our lives. Fourthly, we need to explore God's word. We need to find, we need to search, and we need to find God's word. Acts chapter 17 verse 11, we read about the Bereans. In that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They searched the scriptures daily to see whether what Apostle Paul is preaching, whether it is so. It is not enough. So Apostle Paul has said, so it has to be right. That was not enough for them. They went back home. They took the scriptures. They searched the scriptures. And to find whether what was said, is that the right reason? Is that right? So in our Christian life, we need to go back and meditate. And search the scriptures. And that is essential in our Christian life. It is not enough that we hear God's word, but we have to go back. Our actual service of a Bible study begins after the message is over. Because you need to go back and meditate and contemplate upon the word that we have heard. We read in Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 3. Of the animals that can be eaten. God says, whatsoever parteth the foot and is cloven footed and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that he shall eat. In our eating, we have to eat that which can be chewed, or the chewing of the cud. That means those animals which eat their food, and after that they bring that food back and start chewing the cud, like a cow does, the cattle does. They graze and they feed upon the grass, and then they go back, and they go back to rest. They bring back all those food that is they have eaten, and they start digesting that. They chew the cud. So that the word of God has to be explored. We need to digest them and make that a part and parcel of our body, a part and parcel of our life. That's when we will be satisfied in our eating. So it is not enough that we hear God's word. We need to digest God's word. We need to explore God's word. We need to search God's word. We need to find the truths of God's word. I remember in my early Christian life, one of the person who influenced me in studying God's word is our brother Koshi Matthew, who is from this assembly. You know, he would we would sit together and we would search the scriptures to find the truth of God's word. He was a teacher of God's word, and I was new. And we would search the scriptures together. And it gave a thrill in my life as we began to search and finding the truth of God's word. We need to search and we need to learn in our Christian life. A quiet meditation of that which we have heard and we read is an essential part of our Christian eating. And fifthly, we need to execute or we need to follow. In other words, we need to do God's word. James chapter 1 verse 22, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self." So it is not enough that we hear God's word, but we need to be doers of God's word. We need to execute that. We need to practice that. We need to follow that. Now, it is not enough for us to understand God's word and say that is right and not follow that. It is not enough that we are preachers. I won't include myself in that. We are more often preachers of God's word than practicers of God's word. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 3, the Lord said, he was referring to the Pharisees. And there he was saying, "All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do." In other words, what the Pharisees are teaching and what the Pharisees are telling you to do, you observe and do it. But do not ye after their works, for they say and they do not. You see, what they are teaching is right. They are teaching, you observe and you do that. But don't do what they are doing, because they only teach and they don't do. That's what happens in our Christian life, isn't it? We hear, we understand, and we don't do. Or we preach, and we don't do. We have a very good example of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we read in Acts chapter 1 verse 1, Dr. Luke writes, and he says, in verse 1, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach." First he began to do, and then he began to teach. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. The revival which Ezra brought. Look at his life. "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel his statutes and judgments." See, to do it, first to seek, and to do it, and then to teach. Look at what Apostle Paul has to say. In Philippians chapter 4 verse 9, "Those things which we have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do." See, what you see in me, you do. Again he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, "Bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every churches." So it is not enough that we hear God's word or preach God's word. It is we need to do God's word in our life. So that's the reason for lack of satisfaction. So we need to eat. We need to enjoy. We need to explore. We need to experience. We need to feel God's word. We need to explore God's word. And then we need to execute God's word. Now the third disappointment. It is lack of refreshing. Ye drink, but ye are not filled. Lack of refreshing. Firstly, refreshing yourself. Secondly, refreshing others. When you look at John's Gospel chapter 4, verse 14, the Lord Jesus Christ said to that woman in Samaria, as he went to the well when he was weary, and he went and sat by the well. And there came this woman to fetch water. And during his conversation, the Lord Jesus Christ told to her, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Ye drink and ye are not filled. The Lord Jesus Christ says, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So not only will he not thirst, but it shall be in him a well springing up into everlasting life. Now this is something that is within himself. It is a water that is going to spring up within himself. So this is a refreshment or refreshing that is between him within himself. It's going to spring up. It's an upward direction. So this is something that is for his own. And it springs up towards God. But when you come to John's Gospel chapter 7, there again he is talking about the water. And there he says in chapter 7 verse 37 and 38, the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now you see, here is again the thirst. Let him come and drink, and he's talking about the water there. But here, it is out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now this is an outward flow. The thirst was an upward, a vertical flow within himself. And here it is something that is going out of himself. It is going out for the benefit of the others that are around us. So it's a refreshing to the others. So there is a refreshing that we can have on our own, to our own self, and there is a refreshing that you can have upon others. Look at the refreshing upon yourself. Psalm 23 and verse 2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures, leads me beside still waters. Isn't it? The water, the word of God, we have water that speaks about the word. And water also speaks about the Spirit of God. Normally still waters speaks about the Word of God. And flowing water generally speaks about the Spirit of God. Lord Jesus Christ, when he went to the Jordan to be baptized, it was the flowing water, River Jordan. We are saved through the flowing water, the work of the Holy Spirit. He must be born again. By the Spirit and by water. And the Lord Jesus Christ washed the feet of his disciples. It was still water. It was from a basin of water. He took that water and he washed their feet. And we need to wash our feet with the word of God. He says that he can lead us. He will lead us to still waters. But he cannot make us drink, can he? We have to drink. Now, there's a saying. I don't know if that saying is right. You can lead a horse, right, to the water, but you can't make it drink. So the Lord will bring us towards still water. He can direct the water to come towards you. He can direct you towards the water. But it is for us to drink that water. Now what is very refreshing? Music is refreshing. Today, as I travel everywhere, I went to New Zealand and Singapore. I've been to other places, other countries, and here in India. One thing that is common among everybody has got earplugs. Throughout this region, wherever you travel now, they've got these two, they have this thing, they're waiting in a train, they're bus, they're walking on the road, wherever you are, these two things are there in their ears. Music. Is it not true? Why? One believer told me once, I come back home and I put on the music. Just refresh it. Music, does it refresh us? No, music does refresh us. The word of God says music refreshes us. Now look at what we read about in 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 23. We read about Saul. How when Saul was, affected by the evil spirit, he would call David, and David would play upon his harp, and it came to pass that the evil spirit from God was upon Saul. David took an harp and played with his hand, so Saul was refreshed. See, music can be refreshing. You can refresh yourself with music. And that's what's happening today. Worldly music, worldly entertainment, that is what believers are now engaging. Young men, young women, as I see them today, among believers, they are getting used to listening to the worldly music. And today Christian music is also become so worldly. What's the difference between a worldly music and Christian music? Worldly music is for only hearing. You don't participate. Only hearing it. But believers' music is to sing, making melody in their hearts. See, God wants us to be enjoying the music that should be created in our hearts. Read in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19 and Colossians chapter 3 verse 16, where we say that melody, where it says melody in your heart to the Lord. Making melody in your heart. The melody should be in our heart. In Christian music, we are occupied together. We sing together. You're not a listener, but you are a singer. That is why in believers' meetings, whatever may be those meetings, there cannot be a stage and people singing there, a choir there, and we all sit and listen. It is never so in Christian music. In Christian music, my heart and your heart should together be able to make that music and sing together. There is never a listening to God singing. It is only occupying in singing in Christian music. And today, what those people left denominational churches and came out, they left those choir and all those things and came out. Today those things are creeping back into the assembly of God's people. There are choirs for various kinds of functions. People sit on the stage and they sing. They left the simple basic teaching of God's word that in singing, all believers have to be equally occupied. It should be music in our hearts, and our hearts, those music should be unto the Lord. Brothers and sisters, that music has to be unto the Lord and not to the others. Not to the hearing of the sweet voices that we have. Not to the ability of those musics that we can create. That's not it. It has to be unto the Lord. Where do we go to refresh ourselves? What kind of a refreshing do we have in our Christian life? I was going through 1 Kings chapter 13, and if you have time, please go and read that chapter. There was Jeroboam who made an altar, and God sent a servant of his to go and curse that altar. And a man of God came and he cursed the altar and said about destruction that was going to come upon the altar that Jeroboam had built. And when Jeroboam heard it, he cast his hand upon that man, and we read there that Jeroboam's hand withered. He was not able to move his hand. And then he pleaded with this man of God to pray so that he might be healed. And this man of God prayed, and King Jeroboam's hand was healed. And then Jeroboam invites him to his house. And that's what we read in verse 7. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. You see, an invitation from the king that he would come home and take a little rest and refresh himself. Know what the man of God replied? And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place, for so was it charged me by the word of the Lord. You see, he was already instructed that he should not go take part with anything that Jeroboam has to do. In fact, he was told to return back another way, not even the same way he came. And so this man of God left that place and he was returning back to his home. Now on the way, there was a prophet in that land who heard this matter. And he came to this man of God and he tells him like this in verse chapter 13 and verse 18. And he said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art, and an angel spoke unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. Here was a prophet in that land who told him a lie. He went to this man of God and said, an angel appeared and told me that you have to come to my house, and then you eat with me food and have drink and take rest and go. And this man of God believed that prophet, and he went to his house. He ate, he drank, and he rested. Within a few moments, the word of the Lord came saying that your end has come. And he hastened from there. He left that home. He was returning back. And then the Lord sent lions to attack him, to slay him. He was going on an ass. The lion came and attacked this man. And the ass was left alive. And the lion was sitting by the carcass of this man of God. What a terrible thing to happen to a man of God. He believed the lie of another prophet. He went and accomplished the work which God gave him. He went and refreshed himself in the land which God said you should not refresh yourself. In spite of what he had done, in spite of having followed him and gone and cursed that altar, here was that man whose end was so terrible. And he says, and he went out and found his carcass cast in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. The lion had not eaten the carcass, nor thrown the ass. How terrible it is. Now why I brought this? Where do we go to refresh ourselves? We as believers need to be careful where we go for refreshment. Do we go to the place where it is forbidden us to be in? Do we indulge in refreshing ourselves with those things that are forbidden, those things that are not becoming unto a believer? We need to be very careful of what we do. I remember many years back I saw a believer. He had a cassette in his hand. And I asked him what that cassette was about. So he told me of Elvis Presley. Any of you heard about that name? He was a very famous singer who committed suicide. He was the world's most popular singer. And this believer was having the cassette of Elvis Presley. And I asked him, are you listening to Elvis Presley? He said, these are Christian songs by Elvis Presley. I was astonished. We need to be sure of what music we listen. We need to be sure of whom we are listening to. There are things that we should not be indulging in. Brothers and sisters, we need to know how we are refreshing ourselves. Secondly, refreshing others. Time is gone. Let me just quickly read through these verses. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 16. Here is Paul saying, "The Lord gave mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains." You see how Onesiphorus, when Paul was in the jail, Onesiphorus visited him. And Paul was refreshed. During the time of the distress of a fellow believer, even our visiting them can bring refreshing to them. When they are in distress, Paul was in distress, he was going through difficulties in that jail, and many were not visiting him because they were ashamed of his chains. But here was Onesiphorus who visited him often. And Paul says, "He refreshed me." How a believer can refresh another believer? Philemon and verse 7. "For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother." Here is Apostle Paul talking about how Philemon was able to refresh not an individual believer, but is refreshing the local saints in that place. So you can refresh an individual believer, you will be able to refresh the whole assembly of God's people. He refreshed them with his love and the kindness that he showed unto his people. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 32, the Apostle Paul says, "That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may be with you refreshed." It's not just one person refreshing another. Here he's talking about refreshing one another, that I might with you be refreshed, that they also, when Paul comes to them, would be refreshed, and Paul being in their presence together, being refreshed by them. So refreshing one another is an essential requirement in our Christian living. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 13. "Therefore we are comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joy we are for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all." Here was Apostle Paul talking about Titus being refreshed. And Titus was sent again to the Corinthians. You know, he went with fear, but when he was received nicely, Titus was refreshed. And when Titus was refreshed, Paul was comforted. So you see how when you are refreshing somebody else, one person, there is another person somewhere else, is able to be comforted, is able to be refreshed. So in Christian life, we need to be able to refresh others. The water should flow out from us unto the others, that it might refresh others. Are we refreshing the souls of our fellow saints when they are weary, when they are in distress, when they are in difficulty? Sometimes just a word would be enough to refresh them. Sometimes just being in their presence would be sufficient to refresh them. You remember David, you know, when he fled from Absalom, and then he was there in Mahanaim. There were his people with him. They were weary. And there came Barzillai. And we read there, he brought unto them beds and utensils, wheat, barley, beans, lentils, honey, and so many other things. How we are able to refresh others in our Christian life? Exodus chapter 23 verse 12. It says about what refreshment is. You see, 6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest. When you give rest, that they might be refreshed. Do we give rest to other people? Are we able to give rest to others? The Lord says in Exodus chapter 31 verse 17, he's talking about himself. "For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." Now who was refreshed? God was refreshed. Moses says, 6 days God worked, and on the seventh day God rested and God was refreshed. It means that giving rest of quietness, of comfort to another believer is refreshing to that person. Look at Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 13. As a cloud of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his master. He says a faithful messenger who delivers faithfully the message that has been given, he refreshed the soul of his master. You know how much the Lord Jesus Christ must have refreshed the soul of his Father. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. I have given them thy word, and they have understood it. Read in John's Gospel chapter 17. The faithful messenger refreshes his master. My thoughts went to the disciple who was leaning on the Lord Jesus Christ first. In John's Gospel chapter 13. When the Lord was troubled in his heart. We read in John's Gospel chapter 13. He was troubled in his heart. At that time we find a disciple leaning on the bosom of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a comfort that must have given to our Lord. Brothers and sisters, how much comfort do we give to our fellow believers? There is lack of refreshment, that we might be refreshed in our life. The Lord who leadeth us to the still waters. We should let the Spirit of God in our life, not only that it will bubble, spring up, upwards to the Lord, but it might flow out from us to the other believers, that they also might be refreshed. May God bless us, and may God bless His thoughts to our hearts.